It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Most of my listeners would agree that we have a lot of confusion in our nation today. Almost every thought or idea that is presented to us is said to have two sides, not one, and that we must agree with this or we must agree with that. This is true in the so-called economic realm. Our leaders, our educators, and even to some extent the clergy, tell us that the world is divided into two economic philosophies. One they call communism, and the other they call capitalism. They tell us that these two systems are diametrically opposed to each other, and that we have to choose sides. Either we are for communism and against capitalism, or we are for capitalism and against communism. Many of these same people tell us that America is a capitalistic society, and therefore we must stand up for capitalism and oppose communism. They tell us that we will lose our freedoms and our liberty and our high standard of living, all of which has come from capitalism, unless we defend it from communism. Many of these people are quite sincere in their statements. But God's Word says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So while these people, even members of the clergy, tell us that capitalism is the answer to communism, hardly anyone seems to know the truth that both of these so-called economic philosophies are the ways of death, that neither has any foundation in God's laws for righteousness. I have talked with men who have been ministers for years, and others who profess to be Bible students, and it is amazing to find that hardly any of them know about Bible law on money and economics. Some of them have never even heard that God has laws on money, on debt, on credit, on interest, on gold, laws on how to care for the poor, laws on aliens, on old age, and all of the things that go to make up an economic and social order. I am not going to go into that on this radio broadcast. I gave that introduction to urge you to write to me this month for my article, "Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People." Then, God willing, in a month or two, I am going to do a series on Bible law on economics. I have written a book on that. It's about 100 pages, and it is listed on our literature order blank. But for right now, I want you to read my 24-page booklet, "Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People." My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the March packet, and you will receive this along with some other things. This booklet is 24 pages, complete with about 10 illustrations, and it will give you a first-grade education on our Federal Reserve debt credit money system. This system is about to bankrupt America's largest cities. Later, our smaller ones will be bankrupt. And finally, the entire money system of the United States will collapse under a pile of debts which will become unpayable. This booklet shows how we have reached this point and what will happen. How so-called capitalism is no less a destroyer of nations than is communism, and will show you why the world's richest capitalists are so eager to carry on business and trade and cooperate completely with the so-called communist dictators. The Bible prophesies at great length about a great world dictatorship at the end of this age. The Bible makes it plain in the book of Revelation that that world dictatorship is founded on gold and world economics. If you want to understand the world economic system, you read Pastor Emery's Billions for the Bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people. We estimate that over 250,000 people have read this pamphlet of mine in the last few years. Many have written to tell me that they never understood how we could be such a productive nation and yet be so much in debt until after they read this pamphlet. And I must add that many, after reading this, were ready to read the Bible and learn God's laws on money and economics, for which we praise God. You may have a free copy of this by simply writing to me and asking for the March Packet. In the book of Judges, where God's word tells us that it is God himself who brings the Israel people into captivity under their enemies when they transgress his laws. This divine principle is almost unknown in American churches today. So much of the preaching is personal, and every bad thing that happens to individuals is credited to the devil, that Christians do not understand God's role in their lives and in the life of their nation. This principle that God places Israel under bondage is spelled out scores of times in the Holy Scripture. In Isaiah 42, the prophet asked this question in verse 24, "Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers?" Here is the answer, "Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned?" Isaiah knew from God's own law that it was God's doings and not really the enemy's at all. God speaks of himself through this same prophet in chapter 45 and verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." In the March Packet, you will also find our article on swine's flesh as food, some wrong interpretations corrected. Just recently, the Associated Press reported that the National Center for Disease Control has admitted the influenza has now reached epidemic proportions in the United States. At the very end of the article, they stated that in most cases, the influenza had begun in people who had contact with pigs. So, we have included this article on swine in our March Packet, and you will see that pigs are a major carrier and source of disease in man. God's law forbids his Israel people to eat pork and even commands that they do not touch the dead carcasses of swine. We disobey that plain command of God, and millions of our people suffer illness and some death as a result of swine diseases transmitted to the people who handle and eat swine's flesh. The March Packet includes a number of other articles of interest, a list of tracts and booklets we have available, and information on our Bible study tapes and tape ministry. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free March Packet. All right, I'm going to continue that church sermon we have been playing the last several broadcasts, titled Jeremiah, a Weeping Prophet to a Sinful Nation. Last week we stopped where God accuses his people of shedding innocent blood in the land, and I liken that to our nation now killing one half of all children who should be born in America in the womb prior to birth. They call it abortion. The Bible calls it murder. It isn't just a case of our government or our people allowing it. Tens of thousands of those murders are financed and paid for by various branches of our government with your tax money, so we all stand guilty before God, just as did the whole Judah kingdom in the time of Jeremiah. And by the way, these sermons and others are available on tape. Information on that will be included in the free literature packet when you write. Now to the sermon. And we now condone, and this is pretty close to right, the murder of half of the babies conceived in America every year. Can you imagine that? One half of the pregnancies in the United States of America are terminated by the deliberate murder of the unborn child. I rather doubt, very frankly, if Judah in ancient Jerusalem, before God sent them into the Babylonian captivity, was as corrupt and as guilty of innocent blood as we are. Over 1.5 million, God says, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. We don't hide this. We tell about it in the newspaper. In some cities, these so-called abortion clinics are there under the auspices of the local tax-supported health association from the county. They have billboards or signs up on their buildings, and they advertise in the local newspapers to get the girls to come in and have their baby killed. This is not happening in some heathen land in far-off Asia or Africa. This is happening in this supposedly civilized Western Christian nation of America. God said he didn't have to search for it. It was right there openly. And just recently they had something down here at the state legislature. I don't know how it was resolved. It's still going to have to go through the courts. But the medical college at one of our largest universities issued the order that every intern and medical student had to assist or perform an abortion before he would be given his diploma and allowed to go into medical practice. In other words, if this goes on through here, and it probably will, and in other states, it will only be a very short time before every new doctor will have to have been guilty of the murder of a baby before he can come out and supposedly try to save your life. Is America guilty of innocent blood? God have mercy upon us. It's happening largely while the church remains silent. The churches of America are saying very little. Verse 35, listen to this. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. We have millions of Christians in America, people who attend churches, and they say, well, I know this is going on, but it has nothing to do with me. I have not partaken in it. I am not a sinner. That's those other people. God is going to judge them. But God already said to us in verse 29, ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. And here in this verse 35, he in effect says, because you say you're innocent, I am going to come and judge you. Thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn away from me. But God says, behold, I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Now some of you think, well, you have nothing to do with these things, but I would remind you that these medical schools I just mentioned are largely tax-supported. They are supported to some extent with grants from the Health, Education, and Welfare, which gets their money from the taxpayers. If you pay taxes of any kind, and I'm not just talking about income tax, whenever you buy things in the store, you pay a sales tax. That goes into the state. Part of that state money goes down to this university, which is going to require these medical students to kill a baby before they'll graduate them. We are all guilty of this innocent blood because of what we have allowed to happen here in this nation. That's true of New Testament theology. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and he says there is none righteous. No, not one. Let's be very careful about claiming our own righteousness when we stand before God in the final days of this age. Now turn with me over to Deuteronomy 23. I'm certain there are some listeners who will say, well, I haven't sinned in that. But let's read just a couple other things here in which literally the whole nation is guilty before God of sinning against him. Deuteronomy 23, verses 19 and 20. Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Have you ever lent money on usury or charged interest for money which you have lent? If so, you have sinned before God. You have violated God's divine principles. And this is part of God's law. Now, I know there are many people who consider themselves quite righteous who lend money or buy church bonds. They lend money to their own church. I hear these people on the radio all of the time offering people 8% interest if they will buy the church building bonds and such a church so we can build this church and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happens? Those people lend their money to that church. The minister receives tithes and offerings from the other people, and then he has to take part of God's money and give it back to the person who bought the church bond, and they spend it upon themselves. They actually spend God's money upon themselves, and many of them would be the first ones to stand up and say, I am innocent. I have not sinned. Deuteronomy 15. Some of these, I'm sure some of the people have never even heard of. Starting in verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. Have you ever canceled a debt after the end of 7 years that somebody couldn't pay? Perhaps you have done so personally. But as citizens and taxpayers and property owners in this land, we are all part of a great system of debt, federal debt, state debt, municipal debt, county debt, sewer bond debt, water bond debt, street bonds, highway bonds, mounting into the trillions of dollars, none of which is ever canceled and all of which carries interest. In those things, we are guilty by the very fact we live here and have allowed these things to come to pass. Yes, I'm afraid we are more guilty than Israel was in the days of Jeremiah the prophet. Back to Jeremiah 2. He said, ye all have transgressed against me. And then in verse 35, yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. They had turned and asked Egypt for help, and they had asked Assyria for help. They went into captivity in Egypt. They later went into captivity in Assyria, and these people were going into Babylon. God says, you're going to be ashamed of this captivity. Well, praise God that the time will come when we will be ashamed that we have allowed ourselves to be taken into captivity under these heathen and alien ideologies of Egypt and Assyria and Babylon. And that's what they are. They have the same source today as they did at the time of Jeremiah. He says in verse 37, yea, thou shalt go forth from him. In other words, from the captor, from the captivity, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. That's quite a posture, isn't it? To come out of captivity ashamed with your hands upon your head. Well, praise God, you can't carry much out of Babylon if you come out of Babylon with your hands upon your heads, can you? I think by implication he's saying you're going to walk out of there with nothing. You're not going to carry anything out of these captivities. And I should add here from a later chapter of Jeremiah, for those who still think that they can fight their way out of this captivity which we are in by fighting our enemies. Later on, Jeremiah in chapter 37 had this to say to the people in Jerusalem who said they were going to fight the Chaldeans and whip them. Just like some say today, well, we're going to fight the communists and whip them. Verse 6 of Jeremiah 37, "Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army, and they had made an alliance with Egypt to save themselves from Babylon. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city, and take it, and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up, every man in his tent, and burn this city with fire." God said, I don't care if you smite and wound every communist in the world. If I have decreed that this nation is going to come against you, even if they're all wounded men, they're going to come and burn this city with fire. That which God has decreed is going to come to pass. The enemy is going to come. And this is Pastor Emery again. That was the end of part two of a four-part sermon titled Jeremiah, A Weeping Prophet to a Sinful Nation. Information on how you can obtain those Bible study tapes will be sent to you along with the free March packet of literature when you write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona 85010. That series on Jeremiah was obviously not a complete study of the book of Jeremiah, but was an introduction showing how Jeremiah was chosen, why he was sent to Jerusalem, and what his message was. After you understand that, you can read the rest of the book of Jeremiah and understand it better. You will see how the rulers and the people reacted to God's warning of judgment, what they did, how the enemy Chaldeans were brought by God against them, and so on. We have a parallel in America today. We are in sin. We refuse to hear and obey God's word, so God is raising up the communists and their allies against us. They are coming against us as a judgment from God to chastise, to destroy, to cause us to turn to God and find out why all this has been brought upon us. There are a number of anti-communist ministers and several large anti-communist organizations in America. They spend most of their time and effort fighting and exposing communism. Some of them hold out the hope that if we will spend enough of our time and money exposing the communists, we will stop the communists and bring freedom and liberty back to America. Such a hope is a delusion. Our problem is not really the communists. Our problem is our own refusal to obey the word of the Lord. If we were in right relationship with God as a nation, God would fight our enemies for us. God would not allow the Antichrist and the heathen to triumph over his people. This is not part of the lesson on Jeremiah, but turn with me to the book of Judges. Israel had been brought into Canaan land from Egypt, but after the death of Joshua, they turned to the ways of the heathen and disobeyed God's laws. What did God do? Here is part of it, verses 14 and 15 of Judges 2. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them or robbed them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. We are greatly distressed in America today, but how few see the hand of God in our troubles. Judges 3, starting in verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served him 8 years. This is repeated over and over. They repented, then God delivered them. Later they disobeyed, and he delivered them into the hands of their enemies. You should read all of the book of Judges. In chapter 6, we read that God allowed the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and these are the ancient names of our own enemies from the east today, to cause Israel to be greatly impoverished. Is this happening to America today? Our grain, our manufactured goods, our military equipment, and all sorts of other things are taken from us and sent into the hands of the nations of the East, the nations of Asia and Eastern Europe. Our God is doing to us exactly what he always does with Israel, uses enemy peoples and nations to bring Israel low. It is not just happenstance. Mr. Kissinger was born in Europe of Russian parents. More than half of the president's cabinet in Washington, D.C. are of Russian and Eastern European ancestry. Who are they? Well, they are the descendants of the Amalekites and the Midianites, the ancient enemies of Israel, now ruling over God's Saxon Israel in America. It is time for our people to read God's Word and see what is happening to us today. This is Pastor Emery. Write for our March packet of literature. Read my article on our alien debt money system through which we are being brought into economic bondage to the alien money lenders. Also the article on swine's flesh, how the handling and eating of pork in violation to God's command is bringing disease to millions of our people in the land. The present flu is only one of a score of diseases carried by swine. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that again in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bible and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at this same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.